In the scriptures we've been reading the last few Sundays, Jesus has called his disciples to large and demanding tasks. To heal the sick, to raise the dead, to preach in the streets, and to cast out demons. Money, clothes, home, and family are all to be put aside. Persecution is to be accepted, if not welcomed. His followers are to be fearless in the task of being God's chosen ones, the embodiment of God's kingdom here on earth. But Jesus, in our scripture this morning, seems to be giving us a break. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The disciples have given up their homes and jobs, have done the hard work of healing and exorcism, have risked their lives in taking the gospel into the streets. And here Jesus says, a cup of water given to a parched throat will serve God as well. Just a cup of water. Now we can do that. We may not be able to do the heavy lifting of discipleship, but we can give a cup of water to the thirsty. This is good news for us run-of-the-mill Christians. We have trouble with casting out demons or healing the sick. I think most of us would be embarrassed to go into the streets and preach the gospel. We would have a hard time giving up our jobs and leaving our families to go serve God on a mission field somewhere. But all of us can give a cup of water in the name of Jesus Christ. We can do that. Of course, Jesus is saying more here than just giving a cup of water to the thirsty. He's talking about hospitality. Hospitality was one of the great virtues of the ancient world. In fact, in Jesus' day, hospitality was a sacred duty. The Greeks believed that strangers were under the protection of one of their gods, Zeus Xenios, or Zeus, the god of strangers. In the ancient world, inns were horrible places to spend the night. They were dirty and flea-infested, and innkeepers were notorious crooks, eager to cheat a traveler in need. So a system was developed called guest friendships. Families banded together in different countries to give their family members and friends a safe place to stay. People would open up their homes and gladly feed members, provide a safe place to stay of this guest friendship network. In the Jewish world, hospitality was even more important. It was a sacred duty to welcome a stranger and at least provide them with a meal, even if they came to your house late at night. God gave his people a command in Leviticus 19:33. "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who sojourns with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Love the stranger as yourself. And why should they do this? Because that's the nature of God. God not only loved his chosen people, the Israelites, God loved the stranger, the foreigner, the Samaritans, the Gentiles. God loves all people because he created all people. The Jews were meant to be a light to the Gentiles and to take the love of God to them. They failed miserably in that task most of the time. But Jesus fulfilled that task, that desire of God's, that all people would be loved. Jesus reached out to the sinners of his day, to all those who were rejected and hated. He welcomed the hated tax collectors and the lowly prostitutes. He reached out to the sick. He shared the gospel with Samaritans and Gentiles who were hated by the Jewish people. He healed not only the Jews, but the Samaritans, Gentiles, and Romans as well. We all know John 3:16. Listen to it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world, not just the Jewish people. Jesus died with open arms on the cross, very symbolically welcoming all people to salvation. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God's love and welcome is universal. All people are welcomed into the family of faith, the kingdom of God. And with the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ, God's love exploded out into the world. People of every nationality, every race, every culture, every religion came to faith in Jesus Christ and became members of the household of God. The welcome was for everyone, and no one was excluded. The Church of Jesus Christ made hospitality a top priority. Peter instructed believers to practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. Hebrews says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Paul bids the Romans to practice hospitality. Over and over again in the New Testament, believers are instructed to practice the sacred duty of hospitality. The early church did an amazing job of loving widows and children and strangers and sinners. It was God's love for everyone that helped the church to grow. In our world today, desperately needs more hospitality, a loving welcome for everyone. There is too much hate and fear and prejudice in our world today. It seems to be growing, not decreasing. Barriers are being set up instead of bridges being built. But we live in a world that is shrinking. The world is literally our home. What happens across the sea affects us. We are part of all of humanity these days. And Jesus made it abundantly clear that we must love our neighbor. Not just the neighbor that is close by. The neighbor is anyone who has a need. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So the Church of Jesus Christ must practice hospitality. We don't always do that well. Sometimes we fail miserably. But it is something with God's help that we can do. Now, you may not have the gift of hospitality. It's one of the spiritual gifts. But everyone, every believer can practice hospitality. I believe that our church does a pretty good job of practicing hospitality. We provide a home for 3 AA groups and a mental health support group here during the week. We provide a home for the Korean church that worships here and for our Brazilian brothers and sisters. We provide a home for the preschool of West Hartford. And recently we've provided a home for Peter Spungen and his catering business. It's really a ministry of hospitality that he extends through cooking to all kinds of groups and ministries. Our recent Alpha course ministered in a wonderfully diverse group of people. We had people from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds: Brazil, Peru, Armenia, Poland, Germany, and Greece. We had a number of religions represented: Jewish, Greek Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant. And many languages were spoken. It was an amazing experience of the diversity of the family of God. Next week we'll be hosting Family Promise. And this is hospitality put into practice. And we have been responding very, very well as a church. We are a small congregation, but we have filled almost all of the volunteer spots. And they are many. Next week, in 2 weeks I should say, we will literally provide a home for families that are homeless. They will sleep here. They will eat here. And there will be lots of smiling faces to welcome them and help them feel the love of God. This is holy hospitality at its best. Hospitality is something we all can do. A cup of water, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, a visit to the lonely, and even just a prayer to share the love of God with the people around us. I read this week about Bishop Ken Goodson. He went out to dinner at the end of a church conference he was attending. At the dinner, he was surrounded by friends and colleagues. But Bishop Goodson welcomed the waitress who was serving their table to join them in prayer before they ate. So they circled up, circled their hands, and the bishop started out by just thanking God for the day and asking God to bless the food, to be with them in their time of fellowship and throughout the night. And then with the waitress' hands wrapped in his own, he prayed, "God, we thank you for our waitress this evening. We thank you for the way she has cared for us and served us so well. If there is anything hurting her, if there is any place where she needs your healing, grant her your presence and your love in the same way that she has been so gracious to us this evening. Amen." Bishop Goodson looked up after his prayer and there were tears streaming down the young woman's face. And with her hands still bound in the circle, she had no way to wipe them off. "Thank you," she said. "Today has been a terrible day. Nothing in my life is going right just now. How did you know?" It's kind of like what Amy said in our prayer request this morning. Everybody needs prayer. Don't we all need a hand to hold? Someone to share a meal with? Someone to show a little kindness and compassion? And someone to pray for us? There is power in hospitality. It is the power of God's love and grace. Let's share it with everyone we meet. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your love is so enormous, so all-encompassing. that it includes everyone who has ever lived and whoever will live. We thank you that you want everyone to be saved. You want everyone to be part of your family of faith, to be part of your kingdom, and to experience the glory of life with you in paradise. So help us, Lord, in acts large and small, to extend your love to everyone we meet, everyone we know, everyone in our circle of friends and companions. Lord, help us to be your presence of love and grace and compassion in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
His love is burning in our heart like this.